Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning, good morning. It's a great day. Praise God. If you'd like to take notes, we give you paper. Take notes. Notes are good for some of us. It keeps us awake. Not that you would ever think to fall asleep in service, right? If you were my kid and you were sitting on the front row, a particular child of mine would just pretend like they were sleeping and you can just pinch right here. And that will wake them up. I used to do that to a particular child of mine. Praise the Lord. We're starting a new series today. So if you want to take notes, raise your hand. The Coffee and Connect people will pass these out. You can go home and check it out, study it, look up these scriptures. Because some of them, I'm just going to give you a couple verses, and the whole contents is just really great to get into. All right, I think I'm organized. Here we go. Let's pray. Father, you're wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. You're our Father. Thank you for bringing us into your family, giving us this new life. Thank you for Jesus. Man, thank you for Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you put us into a good place, a better place, an awesome place to be a child of God. And we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you, Father, for the Word of God. The Word of God will bring light to our path. The Word of God will put better thoughts in our head. The Word of God will cause healing. The Word of God gives revelation. So today we say thank you for your Word. Thank you for changing us today through your Word and this time together. Father, I thank you for everyone here. I thank you, Father, that they have ears to hear words from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody yell amen. Yeah, praise God. It's just, you know, sometimes you get to yell. It's great. Sort of like, I love hitting a bucket of golf balls. Love it. Because you can legally just smack the tar out of something. Doesn't care how far it goes. It just feels good. Not very good at it, but sometimes just, you know, sometimes it's just great to yell. And you can yell amen and nobody's going to go, whoa. Okay, so jump in there. So we're starting a new series. I'll kind of jump in here with, how many of you are of the generation that even knows what a seesaw is? Raise your hand if you know what a seesaw. Raise your hand if you've never even sat on one. Some of these, you know, because now, goodness gracious, they might not be safe. We all have our teeth on our head, right? Okay, well, this is kind of a seesaw story here. This is not my story. I heard this, years ago, and it just makes me laugh. It's a seesaw kind of story. I have these friends. They were invited to dinner at a woman's house, and they came with their wives. The woman who was the host, her husband had passed away, and she was inviting these two couples over for dinner. So you know what happens? Where do the ladies go? To the kitchen. You can, come on. Where do the ladies go? To the kitchen. So the host and the two ladies were in the kitchen, and the husbands go in the living room, and they sit down on this little two-seater sofa. What do we call it? Love seat. And my friend Joe said when he sat down, he heard a little, Okay, so Joe and actually his brother, they're both 200-pounders. Okay, so that means 400 pounds is sitting on this sofa, all right? And right in the beginning, Joe's like, So they're in there, the ladies are doing their thing in the kitchen, and the guys are just sitting there talking, and one of the guys, I don't remember, whose little daughter comes and sits down on his lap. This little six-year-old, you know, as big as a toothpick, you know, sits down on daddy's lap, and all of a sudden, boom, they said they heard crack, the legs broke, the sofa's on the floor, they're on the floor, and the guys are like, oh, and the hostess comes out like, what did you do to my sofa? And one of the wives is in the kitchen on the floor rolling around laughing. All right. So here's why I tell you this story. This little girl, like the 400 pounders were doing, they were okay. They were okay. It was a little, but this little twiggy little thing was the tipping point to boom, right? Just to boom, break this thing. By the way, my friends, they bought this woman a new sofa. It was very nice. It's very nice. So, you know, moral of the story, if you have some old beat up sofa, go invite some big guys over and maybe you get a new one, all right? You know, plans within plans. Here we go. But this little girl was the tipping point, over the edge, boom, bang. And tipping point is just, you know, it's just all of a sudden something little kaboom. And I would believe there might be just a few of you, and you may not know it. You are one decision away from making a bad decision that'll tip you over the edge, that it's not going to be good in an area in your life, okay? And I bet you the rest of you are on the almost, you know, you're climbing up this hill and maybe one right decision will just lunge you over, just throw you over the top. All right, how many of you like the throw over the top one? But it's interesting, both of these are based on just one decision could tip you, either or tip you, all right? So, haven't figured out a title to my series, maybe by next week I'll get it. We'll call it Tipping Point or Over the Edge or Seesaw, whatever one you like. But we're going to be talking about a tipping point that we can all either tip this way or tip that way. And we're going to be talking about, and then listen, all of this tipping point is just by making a change or a decision. You can either go down or you can go up. So today, the tipping point is called wisdom. Everybody go, oh yeah, Pastor D, that's just so exciting. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's just so much fun. But listen, let me tell you something. Wisdom is a tipping point in all of our lives, and wisdom is a real big deal. So if you're taking notes because you are smarter than a fifth grader, write down wisdom is a tipping point, all right? So wisdom is actually incredible. If you don't have it, you're going to get it. If you do know it, you're like, that's right, Pastor D. Uh-huh, Pastor D, I am excited. Wisdom is incredible. So I'm just going to give you a couple of things just to just lay the foundation, and then we'll move on from there. But open up to Proverbs. Proverbs. We're going to be hanging out in Proverbs. I probably got about five scriptures. So just find Proverbs. Crack your Bible open in the center. If you hit Psalms, go right a little bit. Psalms, Proverbs. Okay, so we're going to be in Psalms. But if you want to understand wisdom, I was sitting there, well, how long has wisdom been around? How long has wisdom been cooking? How long? So my number one point, if you're taking notes, this is called wisdom's birth. And it's found in Proverbs 8. Proverbs 8:22. The Lord brought me, and this is wisdom. This whole chapter is about wisdom. So when it says me or she, we're talking wisdom. So I'm going to say it that way. The Lord brought wisdom forth as the first of his works before his deeds of old. Verse 23. I, wisdom, was formed long ago at the very beginning when the world came to be. So he's talking about creation, guys. And God is saying, I created wisdom before I created creation. That made sense. Okay. Now jump down to verse 27. I, wisdom, was there when he set the heavens in place, when he marked out the horizon on the face of the deep. So again, he's saying, wisdom created the universe. Wisdom was there first, and it created the universe. God used wisdom there. So just think about this. Think about the potential that's in wisdom. And then think about the potential in wisdom if you and I start operating in it. Whoa! Come on. Think about the potential. The potential was God created the universe and everything in it. And that wisdom. Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay, hang on, Pastor D. Don't go on there. Okay, so number one, the birth of wisdom there. Number two, wisdom source. Now, if you're a believer, you're all going to go, duh, Pastor D. God has the source of wisdom, okay? So open up to Colossians. I'm going to give you a really good scripture. Really good scripture. Colossians 2:2-3. I picked the Living Bible. Again, I love telling you, I love just leading you on and throwing new Bibles at you. Because sometimes I'm on a fast track and I just want the paraphrase. This is a paraphrased Bible. This is an easy read, okay? So this is the Living Bible I'm going to read out. And I'm going to hop down towards the bottom part of verse 2. For God's secret plan, now at last made known, is Christ himself. In him lie hidden all the mighty, untapped treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Okay, isn't that cool? Listen to this. So in him, in Jesus Christ, is this vast amount of wisdom. In him, in Jesus, is all this tons of wisdom. Now, how many of you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Said, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I believe you, the Son of God. Jesus, come into my life. Okay, Jesus, come into my life. And here I have Jesus, who's all this vast wisdom. Guess what's available to you? Wisdom. Okay, and we're going to learn how to get it out. We're going to learn how to hear it. But this is available to us. And it says, I love this, the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So number one, we talked about the birth of wisdom. Number two, the source of wisdom, Jesus. But guess what? Shh. All right. How many like rewards? When my kids were little, if we made it to Friday, the reward was pizza night. Love pizza night. Just great. If you've been on a diet, you get a free day to cheat. That's a reward, okay? Rewards. I love rewards. Well, wisdom has rewards. How many of you want some rewards? Wisdom has rewards, okay? Open up again, Proverbs. Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4, verse 6 and 8. Listen to this. Do not forsake what? Wisdom, not your cell phone. Do not, some of you are like, oh my gosh, I can't live without my cell phone. No, this is even better. Do not forsake wisdom. Another translation says, don't turn your back on wisdom. Wisdom's incredible. Wisdom's amazing. Wisdom's important. So don't forsake wisdom, and she will what? Protect you. Love her, and she'll what? Watch over you. Ooh, I like that. And then verse 8, cherish her, wisdom, and she will exalt you, embrace her, and she will honor you. Did you notice all the things wisdom will do in your life? The rewards that wisdom will do in your life? Go look at this. Listen, it says, I'll protect you. Wisdom's going to protect. That's a reward for having wisdom in your life. You know, I've been dumb. But man, when I start walking in Jesus and knowing the wisdom of God, I am protected. Praise God. Protected. Wisdom will watch over you. It'll exalt you. It'll honor you. Isn't wisdom amazing? Everybody go, wisdom's amazing. Man, I want wisdom. And I want a ton of it. I want a ton of it. So right there was listing all the things that wisdom is going to do in your life. These are all the things that a wisdom will do in your life. Now, let me give you one more scripture again in Proverbs chapter 3. So flip back, Proverbs chapter 3. Ready? Proverbs 3, verse 14. Proverbs 3, verse 14. I'm going to read 14 and 15. For she, wisdom, is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She's more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare to her. Now, I don't know. I don't follow the stock markets or anything, but let's just say this year was a boom year in the stocks and you just got your socks blessed off. Well, this is saying wisdom is better than that. It's saying wisdom's better than anything else. Did you see that? So everybody say wisdom. Oh, awesome. Amazing. Great. All right. Wisdom's great. Okay. Jump down to verse 16 and 17. This is about wisdom. This is the rewards of wisdom in your life. Wisdom, long life is in her right hand. In her left hands are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways. All her paths are peace. So you know what that tells me? No matter what's going on in your life, no matter how rough the situation you're walking through, you call on wisdom and you're going to have peace in the middle of all that. How many of you have experienced that? You know, all hell's breaking loose. Everybody's like, and you're just, it's okay. God got you. You got me. I got you. And I'm going to walk in peace in this. All right. So It's just amazing. So listen, when you get hold of this wisdom, it actually just encircles you. It embraces you. And then things start happening in your life, like protection and exalting you. And I like riches. You know, I hear people, I don't like this prosperity message. Fine. Give me your money. I don't have a problem. Okay, but this tells me wisdom will prosper you. Anybody want to get prospered? Of course, we say body, soul, and spirit, but yep, finances, all right. So these are all the things when you obtain wisdom, it just embraces you, and then you have peace, and all these things are good are going to be coming out of your life. So I think wisdom's amazing. How about you? I think wisdom's really amazing. Now, good. How many of you would like if I said, hey, I have a free car for you? Not a beater upper. How about the 2019s just came out on the lots? How about if I come up and I say, hey, listen, I have a free 2019 car for you. Would you want it? How many of you would be excited to get it? I'm raising my hand. I would love it. Okay. But how about I say this? Behind door number two are the keys to a car factory. A car factory. The big, you know, the expensive ones. I don't even know what they are, Michael. I don't know cars. I just bang them up, you know, but they just have to work. They just have to work. Okay. So how many of you would take the car over the car factory? No, because I have wisdom. I know that. No, I'd rather take the keys to the car factory, because that means every year, at least maybe even twice a year, I get a brand new car. But if you just take the one car, the 2019, in about 10 years, what's that car? Old. Kind of costing you money, right? Right. Okay, so what if you took the car factory? All right, guys. That's what wisdom is. That's what wisdom is. It's the factory. It's got tons of good things that God will pour out in your life if you grab hold of it and you do it. The factory. So, you all smarter than fifth grader? Going for the factory, right? We're going for wisdom. Praise the Lord. So let's see. I should give you my main idea, the big picture, main thing. Actually, this is the tipping point. It's about wisdom. So if you're taking notes, the main idea is this. If you desire wisdom, you'll acquire wisdom. That's pretty simple. Okay? You should write it down. It should be on your post-it note today for the whole week. If you desire, if you seek out wisdom, you will acquire it. If you desire, seek out, and later on we're going to talk about asking for it, you'll acquire wisdom. Okay? So, how many of you want wisdom? Well, it's going to start with desiring it. It's going to be seeking it, and then you'll acquire wisdom. So we're going to talk about three levels of wisdom. Okay? But before I do that, I want to tell you a story. Okay, the story is about a man who had more wisdom than anybody else on the earth. His name was Solomon. His name was Solomon. Okay, and Solomon's dad was David, King David. And just Bible trivia so you can win the game. King Saul was our first king of Israel. Then it was David. And then when David died, it was Solomon. Solomon. And Solomon became, after his dad died, he became the king. And guess how old he was? He's just a young thing. He was 20 years old when he became king of Israel. All right. And you know what his biggest concern was? Yeah. 3.5 million Jews he's got to be in charge of. Now, some of you give me this excuse. No, you don't. I didn't say that way. Okay. Some of you say all the time, oh, Pastor D, I'm so busy. Pastor D, I've got so many things on my plate. Okay, listen, this guy had things on his plate. 3.5 Israelites that he's in charge of. All right, so he goes, he becomes king. I'm jumping around in my story. Becomes king, And he goes to this city called Gibeon. There's a whole reason for all that. And he goes and he sacrifices 1,000 animals as a sacrifice unto the Lord. Now, to me, that's gross, but to them, it was a sign of worship. It was a sign of worship. So 1,000 animals were sacrificed and he's just worshiping God. And he's just, oh God, I love you, I love you, I love you, just worship you. And then he goes to bed that night and open up to 1 Kings and I'll tell you what happens. 1 Kings, 1 Kings chapter 3. He goes to bed that night and God talks to him in a dream. God talks to him. All right, 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3, just going to read verse 5 and then we'll jump down to 10. That night, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream and God said, guys, anytime God said, you should have that highlighted in your Bible, okay? Listen to what God said. God said, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want? And then the next part, ask and I will give it. Ask. And I, God, will give it to you. All right? God's a good God. He's not a liar. He's not a cheat. So he says, you ask, I'm going to give it. Now, hop down to verse 10. All right? Hop down to verse 10. 1 Kings 3:10. Kind of get jump here. Okay. The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for wisdom. The Lord was pleased that Solomon asked for wisdom. So God replied, because you asked for wisdom in governing my people with justice and have not asked for long life or wealth or the death of your enemies. Now that's kind of cute. Some of us go to bed at night. Okay, but he didn't do that. Okay, he didn't do that. Okay, he asked for wisdom, and he said, because you didn't ask for long life, wealth, or kill your enemies, I will give you what you asked for. I, God Almighty, will give you what you asked for. I will give you a wise and understanding heart, so as no one else has had or ever will have. And I will give you what you did not ask for, riches and fame. No other king in all the world will be compared to you for the rest of your life. Okay? And that's exactly true. We always say, we always read about, in our New Testament, about Solomon. All right? So pretty interesting. Wisdom, he asked for wisdom. And wisdom was the tipping point for Solomon to be blessed and to be a blessing, to rule Israel. So the tipping point was him asking, God, I'm asking for wisdom. That was the tipping point, right? If you desire wisdom, I'll give wisdom. Okay. And listen, guys, this is the tipping point for all of us. It can be for all of us. God, I'm asking for wisdom. And it can be the tipping point just to shove you up the mountain here. Okay. Now, all you have to do is say, God, flood me with your wisdom. God, I want wisdom. God, I need wisdom. All right. How many of you say, God, I need wisdom. I want wisdom. That was the tipping point. He had to ask. Okay. We get to do the same things. Okay. Now, I want to go over, again, I mentioned three levels of wisdom, and they're incredible. We go from good, gooder, and best. We're going to do three levels of wisdom. Real simple. All right. Real simple. And it's quite interesting. So the first one, if you're taking notes, ready? Wisdom. This one's called directional wisdom. Directional wisdom. First one, directional wisdom. Okay. This is like when you come to a fork in the road and you go, should I go left? Should I go right? Which way should I go? Okay. Directional wisdom. Okay, and it can happen to anybody at any age. You just don't have to be, you know, in your 30s and all of a sudden you need direction. Your kids, you can, it doesn't matter, whatever age you are. I think of students and been there, done that, and my kids too. God, I need direction on what college to pick. God, I need direction on what major to pick. God, I need direction on should I go to a trade school or go to a college? Okay, so direction, all right? And listen, God wants to give you direction. He wants you to know. He wants you to know, all righty? So, again, All of us, it doesn't matter if you're a student, it doesn't matter if you're raising kids or retired or somewhere after that. God wants to help you know, give you direction, all right? And you might have a child, and I love teenagers. So my hair turned gray, really. You might have a child and you're like, God, I need to understand how they're thinking. Because I don't get it. God, I have this teenager and they're struggling. And it could be a young child. God, I need a direction on what to do with my child that's struggling. And listen, God wants to flood you with his wisdom and he'll give you the direction. He wants to do that. He's a good, good God. And you might be in a relationship and it's just rocky road. And you're like, God, I keep doing this. I keep doing this. And it's not working. God, I need some direction. And God wants to flood you with his wisdom on how to do relationships. It could be with your boss. It could be with a coworker. Okay, whatever, all right? So this is directional wisdom. Now, long, long time ago in the dark ages, when Jack and I wanted to go on a trip, guess what we did not have? We did not have GPS. Do you know what we had? Maps. Some of you don't even have a map. Do you have a map in your car? Oh, you're in trouble. Okay, we had maps in our car. We had book maps, and then we had the atlas, you know, with all the states, the United States, okay? And if we wanted to go on a trip, we'd get the, aside from going to AAA, but we'd get the maps out, the book map out, and we wanted to go through like three different states. So we'd write down, you take this, and then you're going to take this, and then you take that. And then we'd hop in the car, and we'd go on this trip. Now, if Jack was driving, I'd be telling him what to do. You know, I love doing that. I do it with a smile. Someone says, you always tell people what to do. I do it with a smile. Not sure I smile and give them direction. So, but where I tell them, hey, you know, up ahead is route such and such. You want to turn and merge onto there. And I'd start telling them that. And, you know, because it's hard to navigate unless you've got the directions and it's hard to drive. And so I was telling them what to do. And, you know, a lot of times we got lost. And you know what I would say? You need to pull over. We need to ask somebody. And he'd go, and he didn't say this, but I'll say this. Well, I'm a man. We don't ask for directions. That's really what he said. But he just says, well, I don't need directions. I can figure this out. I'm like, no, you're not. We're lost. Okay. So directions and maps. All right. But nowadays, you don't have to have maps. But I was on my way from Tulsa to, what was that, Colorado, and we hit a section where we lost reception. And I had the maps in my car. And Cassie's arguing with me. And I go, let me get these maps out, all right? So it's a good idea. But technically speaking, we got GPS. We have apps now. What's it? Google Maps. And you just tell it. You don't even have to type it in. Tell it where you want to go. I want to go to ABZXYZ, and it starts talking to you. In 1,000 feet, turn left onto Princess Avenue. All right? How many of you have the girl voice on yours? Anybody have the boy voice? Not even going to think on that one. Okay. So anyway, here's my point. Here's my point. God wants to do the same thing for you. God wants to talk to you and tell you where to turn in life through wisdom. All right? Now, he is not going to sound like your GPS, guy or girl. Okay? That would be... Anyway. But and all of us are different on how God speaks to us, gives us direction. For most of us, it's what? Peace. You just have this peace. You have this knowing. Yep. Yep. Okay. I'm going to do this. Okay. But listen, we're all different. But God wants to give you direction. It's wonderful. How many of you need some directions from God? Shoot. All the time. If not, just stick out the rest of the day. Praise the Lord. You're going to need it. Amen. So let me give you a tipping point in wisdom. Open up to James. James. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, and I'm going to read verse 5. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom. But if you needs wisdom, and if you want wisdom, you should ask, not Google Maps. You should ask God, right? You should ask God. If you do a little study on this word, ask God, it's actually a command. Just saying, okay? But you should ask God, who gives generously to all without fault finding, and it will be given to you. All right. Now, it's really fascinating about these, the verses up above. These are written to Christians. Okay, these are written to Christians at that time, and actually, they got some trouble going on. They're being persecuted, all right, for being Christians, and they're losing their jobs. If they don't deny Jesus, they're going to lose their job. How many of you, if you lose your job, you don't have an income? How many if you lose your job, you don't have an income, you're not making that mortgage payment? Okay, well, I don't know how they did it back then, but let's just say it was kind of a rough going over there, okay? So this is kind of the background on this, and this is God's answer to them. Hey, if you need direction on what to do, just ask me and I'll give it to you. Guys, this is so simple, but this is so big. If you need direction on what's going on or this and this, ask and I'll give it to you. All right. And later on in the next verse, it says, ask believing that I give it to you. You know, have faith that I'm going to give it to you. All right. Listen, God's a good, good God. He's good all the time. He doesn't lie. He's not schizophrenic. He is amazing. So he said, ask and I'll give it to you. Ask me for what you have need of. Wisdom because of this situation, and I'm going to give it to you. Praise the Lord. Now, this is how it works in my life. This is just me. And all throughout my day, I'm going, whoa, man, I don't know. Anybody ever say that? Oh, man, I don't know. So I'll go, God, I don't know. I need your wisdom. Okay? And then I thank you. You're going to give me the wisdom for this situation and that situation. And then the next day goes on by Well, let me back up. Typically, in 10 seconds, I do not get that wisdom. Typically, I may not get it that day. I've asked God for something. And typically, sometimes not even that week. And I won't ever go on to the rest of the typicalies, okay? But this is what I do. I ask God, and I'll say, hey, I'm a little nicer. God, okay? Sometimes I get a little sass going on. But hey, God, I asked you, and now I thank you that you are the source for the wisdom I need. I just thank you. I just thank you. And every day, the situation, I'm just going to thank you. Thank you that I asked and you said you'd give and you're a faithful God and I'm believing. So I thank you that I have the answer. I thank you. I have the wisdom. I thank you. I have the wisdom. And do you know what? God has never failed me. He's never let me down. 2 weeks ago, I had this situation in my office. This family, and it was bananas, okay, what was going on. And it was way over my pay scale, you know what I mean? I didn't have answers. I didn't have answers, okay? I had your basic Jesus loves you, this I know, and stuff. And we prayed together, this family, and they left. And I said, God, I need wisdom. They need wisdom. I need wisdom. We need wisdom. And I thank you. I just thank you. And every day, you know, I'd hear something else that was going on with this family. I'm like, man, we need wisdom, God. We need wisdom. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We've asked. And actually, I prayed with them when we asked God for wisdom. And you know, it's okay to say, hey, I don't have all the answers. I love saying that. I don't know. We prayed. And the following week, I had this woman come into my office, totally different. And we were just talking. And I said, I hadn't seen her in decades. And I said, hey, tell me your story. What's been going on with life? And she started saying, you know, the last time I saw you in 1856, I did this and I did that. And bam, out of her mouth came the wisdom that I needed. And I said, stop, stop, stop. And she's looking at me. I said, that's exactly what I needed. Actually, God gave it to her, who gave it to me, called these people up. I said, got your wisdom. I don't got nothing. God's got your wisdom, okay? Listen, God's never failed me. All right? And I kept thanking him. I kept thanking him. And listen, God wants to flood your life with wisdom. And all we have to do is say, God, ask. Gosh. And you know, God doesn't beat me up on how dumb I am. Like, he's like, are you kidding me? You're asking for wisdom in this area? What, you don't know that by now? He's not like that. Read that scripture, okay? And he's not going, well, I already gave it to you. Didn't do nothing with it. He doesn't do that. He pours out his wisdom, okay? Praise the Lord. Okay, so that was directional wisdom. Here's number two, practical wisdom. If you're taking notes, this is the second level, practical wisdom, practical wisdom. How many of you are practical people? Gosh. Okay, listen, the Bible, this Bible that you read every day, right? Every day is full of practical things, okay? So one source for practical wisdom is this. Go to this, all right? And you know, the other source is experience. Another place you can get wisdom, practical wisdom, is by experience. My famous quote, well, I'm a day older now. I go to bed every night, man, I'm a day older now. Wow. Okay. Practical experience. And you know what? If you've got some, if you're in a field of an occupation, you should find people that have been doing it longer than you. And ask them, hey, I got this situation going. What do you suggest? Okay, and their experience will be the wisdom that you need. It's just remarkable. All right, but you got to ask, okay? So, it's a story about me. Long, long time ago. No, you know, I was really blessed to be a stay-home mom. Four kids, they're 2 years apart. What were we thinking? All right. And so, and Jack would go to work and church and all that stuff. And I did nothing at YCF for 15 years. I just attended. I got kids there on time. That was work. All right. That was work. You didn't want to hear the conversation in the car, getting everybody to church on time. And I didn't care if you found your shoes or not. Get in the car. We got to be on time. We're on the front row. We're the pastor's wife and the kids. Okay. So I was really blessed. I was really blessed to be a stay-home mom. But let me tell you, you work. Stay-home mom. Okay. As my kids got older and started to all be in school, I would volunteer here at YCF. And then as they got older, I actually worked at YCF and got paid for 2 days, 2 4-hour days. Just stop laughing at me. That was a lot. Okay, because then I would put kids on the bus and I'd work at YCF and then I'd run home before the first bus got home. Okay? Okay, then my kids all grew up, graduated, and I started working full time. Now, if you know me, I love to cook. Love to cook. It's my happy place. I don't know what yours is, but mine is in the kitchen cooking, okay? So I found out, and, you know, when my kids are little, I cooked every meal. It was great. I was just in my happy place. Sometimes it didn't look like happy place, but sometimes we had hot dogs, you know, and stuff like that. But I would cook for my family. I love doing that. But as I'm working full time, and I realize I'm not cooking. And you know what? I am eating junk. Junk. And I'm really not a fast food person. I hate to spend my money on that. Sherry and I always laugh. We go, we would rather spend our money on shoes than food. And you should see Sherry's shoe collection. Mine's nothing to be compared. Okay. So I would come home, and some days I'd leave the house at 8 o'clock and I'd come home at 8 o'clock at night. And I can't get to my happy place. It's 8 and I'm getting grouchy. And have you ever opened the refrigerator and start throwing food in your face? I didn't care what kind of food it was. It's usually not the food you should be throwing in your face, or a bowl of cereal. And, you know, there's only so many days you can eat a bowl of cereal. And I'm realizing this is not a good place. It is not a good place. This is not nutrition. This is not helping my body, okay? And one day I'm talking to my sister Liz. She lives in Florida, and she's been single her whole life, and she does single and cooking. And I called her up. She called me up on a Sunday after church. I go, hey, what are you doing? She says, I'm cooking for the week. What? I'm cooking for the week. And she cooks on the weekend for the whole week. She packs her lunches for the week. She gets dinner meals. She's like highly organized. She's got a little cute little colored boxes and stuff like that. And I'm telling you, all that is her experience became my wisdom. And I was making a whole lot of mistakes trying it on my own. And just through this conversation, and then, you know, it's so cute when you have a younger sister. Lizzie and I are 10 years apart. And every once in a while, she kind of rubs that in my nose that she's smarter than the older sister and stuff. And she just let me have it. What are you, stupid? You didn't know to do that? Blah, 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 blah. So I'm laughing. I'm laughing and stuff like that. But I tell you what. If you're in a profession, whatever you do, go find people around you that have been there and doing it more than you, longer than you. And I'll tell you what, they'll give you answers that you never dreamed of. It's just amazing, all right? A year ago, we were talking about we needed to redo our policies. We needed to update them. They're only 30 years old, and, you know, we don't make tapes anymore. We had a policy for making tapes. Okay, so we were checking these out. We realized we didn't have policies and manuals and stuff like that. So I asked some people that have been doing it 30 years, and they're up to date. And we call Pastor John. Hey, do you have any policies about X, Y, and Z? And he's like, no problem. Download everything you want. Thank you, Lane. He was pressing the buttons, and we were just tweaking. We changed the logo, slapped it on there. And listen, their experience, I can get practical experience from somebody else. I do not have to reinvent the wheel. And it's good. We're still working on some of these policies, but glory, glory, glory. Okay. Now, let me give, those are all my stories. Let me give you where you can pull practical wisdom out of your Bible. Open up to Proverbs. Practical wisdom out of your Bible, because really, that is a good source. That is a good source, okay? Proverbs chapter 6. Okay, this is the Message Bible again. This is a fun paraphrased version, all right? Just real easy read. It's your lingo. It's no these and thous and big words, okay? Proverbs chapter 6, verse 9. Nah, where should I start? 9. I'm going to start in 6. This is the lesson from the ant. You lazy fool, look at the ant. Don't you love the way they start this? You lazy fool, look at the ant. Watch closely. Let it teach you a thing or two. Nobody has to tell it what to do. All summer long, it stores up food. At harvest, it stockpiles provision. So how long are you going to laze around doing nothing? How long before you get out of bed? A nap here, a nap there, a day off here, a day off there. Sit back, take it easy. Do you know what comes next? Just this. You can look forward to being dirt poor, life poverty, your permanent house guest. Okay. This Proverbs really is written to kids to teach them some things. All right. It's written to your kids to teach them. That's what you should be teaching them. And that's what it teaches. But let me say this, back up a little bit. I believe in a government safety net. Some of you, just hear me out. I believe that it's for people that may be mental disability. I believe in that. I believe those that have physical disability. I believe it's for the aged. But, you know what this says here? It says, if you're able to work, get off your behinds and work. Okay? Now, there are people that are not. But if you're able, that's what it's saying. If you're able to work, everybody say work. Work. Yeah. Okay. Guess what? That's just practical wisdom. It is. Okay. And the Bible also in Proverbs says that it's profitable to work. Okay. It's profitable. So first off, how many get a paycheck after you work? Profitable. Okay. Even if you don't and you're a volunteer, work, guess what it does to your self-esteem? Gives you, like, I am of worth. I have done something with my life. I have value and purpose. Where's my friend? We were talking in the back. We're talking about purpose. So work is profitable. Any kind of work will have profit to it. Guess what? That's practical. Real practical. How about this one? Here's a practical one. You don't work, you don't eat. Amen. Now, your dad did not write that. That's found in by the Apostle Paul wrote that. He was having a trouble. Somebody didn't teach your kids because he was talking to adults that, all right? How many of you have done that? You've taught your kids work ethics. Praise God, okay? And you might have to polish up occasionally and stuff like this. I remember, Jack and I did this, and I remember Joy. Joy's my third child. She's a brainiac and whatnot. And she was just graduated college. She's such a brainiac. What do you have to, you have to take a minimum of what, 15 credits a semester? 14, 15? 12. Okay. Joy would take 18. Bananas. Just bananas. Joy loves the academic, okay? So she just graduated college with a major and two minors. Well, of course, you take 18 credits. And not even a week goes by, and she goes, Mom, I think I want to go back to school and do my master's. And I said this, pocketbook closed. Because we would try to help our kids out. They did about two-thirds of us, but we would try. And she goes, Mom, I know that. I know that. Because we taught her, you know, you need to work so you can live a good life, a successful life, all right? So it's like, high five. Praise God, she got it. And she did. She went and did her master's. Praise the Lord. And you should ask her what her loans are like. But anyway, practical wisdom, practical wisdom, practical wisdom is teaching these things, all right? So we have directional wisdom, we have practical wisdom, and here's the last one. Ready? Heavenly wisdom. Write that down. Heavenly wisdom. Obviously, this is the highest one. This is like the gold medal. Okay. Heavenly wisdom. All right. Heavenly wisdom. It's the highest one. I was hanging out with some friends. Gosh, it's been a month ago. And we were just telling funny stories. And his wife started telling the story about the husband, Tony. And then he cut her off and he started telling the story. But he says, the story goes like this. He's got this one friend. He's a brainiac. He's like the smartest guy you ever want to get around. This is my friend Tony. Tell me about his friend. And one day he just felt like he just needed to say, hey, you know what? You are incredibly. I have never met anybody so smart. You are just brilliant. You are like, whoa. And Tony felt like he just needed to give him some affirmation. I don't know why, because he's so smart. But anyway, so his friend says to Tony, well, you know, at least you have street smarts. And he didn't mean it. He didn't say it to be mean. But Tony took it like, well, duh, you know, at least I got some street smarts. Duh, you know. And he said, you know, I felt like he called me an idiot. And then he said he got it to thinking. And he says, you know, I do have street smarts. I could survive. I could even flourish, you know. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So the reason why I tell you this story about street smarts is I believe there's heavenly smarts. Number three, heavenly smarts, okay? Heavenly wisdom, heavenly smarts. And if you get that heavenly smarts in you, well, yeah, I'm going to do good, okay? I'm going to do good. Heavenly smarts. And heavenly smarts is getting the wisdom of God in your life, and it'll change your life. Not only do you get it, but you do it, and it'll give peace in your life. It'll prosper in your life. It'll give honor into your life. So, you know, heavenly street smarts is a good thing. Anybody want some of that? Well, I'm going to tell you how to get it. All right. James chapter 3. Pastor D. James chapter 3. Heavenly smarts will change your life. How many of you already know that? How many of you experienced just the wisdom of God, heavenly smarts, heavenly wisdom in your life, and it's just changing your life? How many of you had people come up to you and say, man, whoa, okay, fill in the rest. But, you know, people will ask you, well, that's just amazing, or da 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 da. Okay, heavenly smarts. You all at James chapter 3? James chapter 3. Again, this is heavenly wisdom, heavenly smarts. It's the highest level. And I really just want you to see this, and I want you to desire it. Not only do you see it, but you desire it. So here we are. Verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that come from wisdom. That come from wisdom. So what he's saying is you have heavenly wisdom in your life. It's going to make you a humble person. A humble person that's just a good giving person, all right? Praise God. Verse 14, let's pop down there. Verse 14. But if you harbor, I love when they start a sentence with but, you're in for it. Anybody figure that one out? If they go, but, you're in for it, okay? But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambitions in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Ooh, ouch. I've operated in some of that. Anybody else? This is not the time to raise your hand. Okay? There have been some times in my life where I've done that. And you know what he's saying? If you are dealing with bitterness and envying and selfish ambitious, and by the way, this list goes on. They just put down a couple of them. And this list goes on, like anything that's in the Bible that the Bible calls sin, that's on the list. Okay, so some of you are like, well, I don't do that. No, no, no. There's other things on this list, okay? So he says there's two kinds of wisdom, right? There's an earthly wisdom and there's a heavenly wisdom. And you know, when I read this thing about bitter envying and selfish ambitions, is that a heavenly wisdom? No, that's not heavenly. That's the earthly one. All right. So here's my question. Why do we struggle with some of those things on the list? Anybody ever wonder why do we deal with this? Pastor D, why do we deal with this? Well, I'm glad you asked. I'll tell you why. Because we live in this body. We got this thinking going on and it's not redeemed. Now, if you've asked Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life, if you've said, Jesus, I love you, come in and be my Savior, I'm going to follow you all my days of your life, guess what? The real you, which we call the spirit man, the spirit you, is made new. This is new. It's a new species like never before, brand new. It's new. But this body, it's not redeemed. Look at your neighbor and you go, it's not redeemed. No, it's not. It's not redeemed, okay? This thing, and it kind of has a default place. It just kind of goes that way. It just wants to do that list, okay? So all of us have to fight the list. Bitterness, envying, blah, 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 blah. But, this is the good but, ready? But if we ask God for wisdom, it'll supersede all of that stuff. And when you ask for God's wisdom and he speaks to you and he shows it and you start doing it, it just pours out blessings in your life and you're going to be different. You're going to go sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. All right. When you ask God for his wisdom in your life, praise the Lord. So, okay, let's read verse 17. This sort of explains it more. But wisdom that comes from heaven, heavenly smarts, heavenly wisdom is first of all pure. First of all pure. Pure means a pure person that is just lives your life nice, good, God-like, okay? That's a pure person, all right? So But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving. That means you're going to try to make peace with people. How many of you know sometimes that doesn't work? So, you know, you try, they just shooting you down. That's all right. But you're going to be this, the wisdom of God will let you, you'll want to, all right? The next one, it's considerate. Considerate means you put people before yourself. You're considerate. You're considerate of people's needs, all right? Submissive, that means compliant. Full of mercy and good fruits. Impartial, that means you treat everybody fair and sincere. I don't know about you, but I read that list and I go, I want that. How many of you want that in your life? That's a beautiful list, okay? God, I want that. God, I want you to flood me with that wisdom. So this is what's coming out of me. God, I want you to flood me with that wisdom, all right? I need that wisdom. Now, God can do that in your life. God can do that in anybody's life. It doesn't matter if they're a little kid or they're older than whatever, okay? God can do that in your life. And it's simply you saying, God, I'm seeking after your wisdom, and I thank you. I'm going to ask you for it. I'm going to thank you. Now, the interesting thing about this, how many of you have this bad habit? We do this in my house a lot. So I'm on the second floor. Somebody's in the kitchen, and they're yelling, hey, Mom, can you give me this? And I'm yelling down, yes, it's over here. And, you know, they don't even hear half of it because they're not together. Okay? Guys, the wisdom of God is when you spend time with God. You got to spend time with him. Otherwise, you're like, what'd you say? Hey, I need this. And you're just out the door. Okay? So camp out in the word of God. Just get and make time to be quiet. Time to be quiet. time to be quiet after you ask him, all right? And then just start thanking him. Sometimes I'll find my wisdom as I'm reading my Bible. Sometimes, like I said, it just shows up later on days and stuff like that. But you simply say, God, flood me with your wisdom on this situation. Thank you, God, that you're the source and you're going to share with this. You're just going to give me this wisdom in Jesus' name. And then, you know, when that wisdom comes, it just changes part of your life. It just changes and there's great things that happen. Amen. How many of you know that? Good. Well, how about I pray for you? Ready? Bow your heads, close your eyes. Yeah. You know why I say, now I used to do this with kids because kids start wiggling. And then they're picking the person next to them. So I say, bow your head, close your eyes, and sit on your hands. Mm-hmm. Okay. I think this is a good time that we all pray this prayer. How about we pray this? Everybody just say, Father God, I'd like your wisdom. All right. Now you get quiet, and you just, whatever situation's going on, you just talk, say, God, I've got this going on. Father, I thank you for your wisdom on the situation, my life, at the office, at home. Thank you. And you just get there and just have a good time right now with the Lord. All right? Let him speak to you. Maybe you're just like, Lord, I need some direction. I don't know what to do about this. And I'm asking you and I'm thanking you. Or, Lord, I thank you. You're just going to put some people in my life that I'm going to ask them for some real practical stuff. Or maybe you're the one that you got that real practical stuff. You've got years of experience. And how about you start sharing that? Okay, you don't have to put a billboard up, but, you know, just be willing. And how about all of us, we can say, God, just flood me with your heavenly wisdom. Lord, just flood me with your heavenly wisdom, Father, so that, you know, it says that we can have heaven on earth. Heaven on earth. So, Father, I thank you for this heavenly wisdom, that the way I'm going to act in heaven is the way I'm going to act on earth, because you're flooding me with this heavenly wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Well, this week, when you have these moments of just the wisdom of God and some things change in your life, how about you tell me your story? And then I'm going to tell your story, okay? I may throw you up here with a microphone or else I'll just change the names to protect the innocent and I'll tell your story for you, okay? I do that a lot. When I give you names, it's never the real names. I want to tell you, I just change them. But, you know, just as God does these things in your life, it's such a joy to hear the joy that you've gotten experience with. So tell somebody, tell me, all right? Hey, I have one more invitation. Everybody just close your eyes, no wiggling. You don't have to run out of there. You know, wisdom came to the earth because of love. Wisdom came to the earth 2,000 years ago. His name is Jesus. And he changed how we live life, how we do life, and how eternal life will be. All right. So if you're here today and you'd like to receive the one, his name is Jesus, he'll change your life for good and gooder. All right. He'll be that source of wisdom. He'll be that strength. He'll be that peace. He'll be that comfort. And the beautiful thing about asking Jesus to come into your life is, man, he makes you just brand new. He just chucks out every negative thing, every past mistake. He just wipes it out. And all you have to do is receive it. So if you're here today and you've never received Jesus, and you're going, I've never received Jesus. Pastor D, I'd like to do that. Now, again, I'm going to say this. I'm not asking to join our church. I'm not asking if you were raised in church. I'm not asking if you were sprinkled or dunked. I'm asking if you ever prayed and said, Jesus, come into my life. I receive you. I'm now a child of God. If you're here today and you've never done that, and there's this stirring, this knowing, well, let me tell you, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today is the day for a miracle. And all you have to do is just take Jesus. And actually, what I'd like to do is pray with you. So if you're here today and you've never asked Jesus and you'd like to pray this prayer, I'm telling you, it'll change your life for good. For better. So how about we all just say this? And if that's you, just say it out loud. Say it so you can hear it. And then I always used to tell kids, and I still tell adults, after you pray this prayer for the first time, you write it down. Write it in your Bible and then you go tell somebody. Today, I received Jesus. Today, my life changed. Today, I became a child of God. So how about we all pray this prayer? Ready? Father God, I come to you in Jesus' name. I believe in my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to pay for my sins. Amen. And I open the door of my heart. I open my life. And I invite Jesus to come into my life. Jesus, thank you for saving me. Thank you for washing away all my sins. Thank you for making me new. I'm now a child of God. Heaven's my home. And Jesus is my Lord. Amen. Hey, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, I want to tell you, heaven is having a party. It says, "Oh."